All right, cool. We're recording here. Everything good. What was I speaking about just now? About your American accent.
Yeah.
It's very fun to make fun of you guys. American
it's
accent.
A lot of fun.
It is. Oh. She just said something along the line. I could have worn that different sweater, but well, not like that. Not like that. Where are you from in the U.S.? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan, but okay. I really hated the Michigan accent. So it's kind of a strange thing. Like I would, well, two things. One was that people told me that I sounded like my mom mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're 12 years old, there's nothing worse than hearing that you're anything like your mom, especially as a daughter. So I started training my voice to not sound like her. And then I was also training my voice to not sound like a Michigander.
Okay.
I actually don't know how to do the Michigan accent anymore.
Happy days. I think you succeeded then. Ladies, welcome to the show. Welcome to London Media Lounge. I'm your host with the most. They call me Sammy. Well, welcome. Welcome. Sincerely. Like, I really love meeting people from kind of like the same industry as I'm trying to be in, right? Which is video, film, all of that. Not a lot of film, but yeah. you get the point. So let's talk about like what you guys do. So you're a film director.
Yeah, so I own a production company I just started up very recently, and I've had two projects now. That one just finished and launched on IGTV, and we're gonna put it out on Vimeo and YouTube. Mm-hmm. So for those two projects, I wrote, produced, and directed them. Mm-hmm. In the future, now I'm trying to do more with like executive producing. So
right.
coming up with funding
okay.
for projects that I'm interested in. And yeah, kind of like a creative director in a way, but
happy
for films.
Days. Happy yeah. days. What type of projects are you wanna get into? What type of projects do you want funding? Do you have like a certain one in mind that you really want it to kind of get done?
Yeah, well, in the UK, I have projects I want to do while I'm here. Mm-hmm. One is a short, like cross-cultural film between Japan and the UK. Mm-hmm. So that's like another narrative that I want to do. I also want to do another fashion film, but mm-hmm. it would be more complex and more geared towards getting into festivals. And one of the goals of my production company is I always want it to be tethered to nonprofit and mm-hmm. creating awareness or helping underprivileged communities or people that don't have a voice.
Right.
So for the next fashion project, for instance, I wanted it to be tethered to LGBT teens that suffer from depression.
Right.
So
yeah. Sounds interesting. Sounds really yeah. interesting. And you're doing it. So what are like the main avenues that you're going to have to take as an executive producer? Like what does the job, the gig entail? Like I'm really like new to this, right? So you're talking to somebody who yeah. knows nothing about what's going on here. Like when I read our producer, executive producer, director, like I have vague ideas about what's going on there. So
yeah.
what's your main, like what you do? You meet people, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I meet people a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, crowdfunding is one way when you're an indie filmmaker, mm-hmm. and it's kind of interesting. Even studio films have gone the direction of crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The studio might have, I don't know, funding from their angel investors, and then they also will still do a crowdfunding campaign. And it's kind of a way for them on... they use it as like doing target marketing to yeah. test their audience
yeah.
for free, essentially. Yeah. So I have mixed feelings about that. But yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that at a certain point. But yeah, best of luck with that. Whatever, you know, things you have to do. I hope you find success in them. I think it's not easy, especially the creative kind of route that you're trying to take is
yeah.
there's there is no formula for success in it. There isn't. You can work hard at certain places and stuff like that, but when it comes to what you're doing, it's like you have to hit that one. You have to be at the right place at the right time one day, and then everything will come together. That does not mean we shouldn't work hard. We all have to work hard. But tell me about your experience in Japan. So how did you I know you went to Japan. Is that where you started your career?
Yeah, unintentionally.
Okay, tell me about that. Because I want to know how you met Nagisa. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Nagisa.
Nagisa, there you go. So Nagisa is with us and she's an actress, yeah. Right? So I know you guys met in Japan. So let's before we get to you going to Japan, let's talk about your story. Mm-hmm. How did you, I've never met an actress like that in my life. So I really want to know the life of an actress and the struggles of an actress, because it can't be easy. I feel like it can't be easy to choose that creative route, like the type of personalities that you must be dealing with. And so I bet you there's some crazy stories that you have. So let's start about your career. How did you start? Where did you grow up? Yeah. And how did you decide to be an actress?
So I was born in Paris. My mom's Japanese, my dad's French. Mm-hmm. And both of them work in the film industry. My mom's a producer for Japanese TV.
Okay.
And my dad was a location scout for French cinema.
Okay.
And then he started producing with my mom as well. So I was always in this creative industry. Mm-hmm. My parents would show me films from a very young age. Mm-hmm. So I always liked acting. I was doing theater classes and I always kind of dreamt about becoming an actress. Mm-hmm. But my parents, knowing, the struggles of
the business.
Yeah, they never really wanted me to do it.
Yeah.
So they always wanted me to do other things like become a lawyer, become something else. Mm-hmm. And when I was 15, I really knew I wanted to do that, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to disappoint my parents. So I still applied for university, but I knew I wanted to do acting.
Right.
And every year in summer, I would go to Japan. And one day when I was 13, I got scouted by a modeling commercial agent. Mm-hmm. So I got signed and every summer I'd just go for 3 months and work, audition for commercials and short films, stuff like that. And when I was 19, I moved to Japan.
Yeah.
I was I want to do it full time. Because I was struggling in France. Because
yeah.
I'm Eurasian, I didn't really fall into any stereotypes. I didn't look Asian enough. I didn't look French. I was really confusing to the French.
So I
would go to auditions, film auditions, but they were confused.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite Asian enough to go for the Asian roles, and I wasn't French enough.
Yeah.
So there was not much work for me at the time. And back mm-hmm. then, I remember... Asia was this faraway continent still, you know what I mean? There was not as much information about Japan, China, and if you said Japan, they'd all say China. So it was really hard for me. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to go to Japan,
right.
Kind of explore my other culture.
Yes.
And they were much more welcoming and I felt much more at home. So at 19, I moved there and I was working full time, auditioning. It was going well.
Yeah.
And slowly I started to realize that, even though I was working, it was a bit frustrating because the industry is completely different.
Mm.
It's much more of a business, as in you've got to be famous before you get cast in a movie. It's the opposite as, in the West.
Mm.
In the West, you're an actress, you're an actor, you're a nobody, and you go for films. But in Japan, you're either a singer, a dancer, a talent, a whatever, and then you can get cast in a movie because that's how it works.
Wow.
Because they want celebrities in their movies. That's why the skills of acting are not as, high because it's not real actors.
Right.
And I started realizing that. So I got an agent in France.
Mm.
I was 22 and I got an agent in France and I was auditioning. I'd go back to France. But still, I wouldn't really get anything because I didn't look French. I didn't look fully Japanese.
Yeah.
And... quite recently, my agent ditched me. She was like, I'm sorry, Nagisa, I can't place you anywhere in auditions. I feel like you're wasting time. And then I had met some casting directors from the UK at an acting workshop.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about how the UK was leading in Europe and how Hollywood was coming to London and how it was getting very ethnically diverse. And they were looking for ethnically ambiguous people and how, minorities were finally, it was finally their time.
Right.
And I reached out to several agents that I was interested in. And there was one that got back to me. And it was one that I really wanted to work with. And ever since that, I've been auditioning for TV series, films, auditions. And
happy days. There you go. Yeah. There you go. And, tell your agent who let you go, tell her to bugger off, man. Come on, get out of here, bro. Just because you couldn't. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, the hell out of here. Who are you talking about? You know what I mean? Yeah, you got a young, vibrant girl, beautiful. You can get many roles. I would watch you in different roles. I wouldn't mind. Let's talk about the roles that you're auditioning for. What interests you? What do you like to do?
So at the moment, you know, anything that I get, I'm interested in. Because, right. You know, I'm still starting and I'm interested in anything. I want to try really literally anything, even comedy, drama, you know, anything that I can do.
Right. You're learning as well at the same time. You learn the experience, the people. Let's talk about the people a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so just tell me about these. What you said. So last year I went to an acting workshop in Mallorca with lots of other actors.
Yeah.
And exactly what you described, for the first time in my life, I realized, oh my God, actors who are supposed to portray humanity are so full of themselves, are so obnoxious, so selfish. They're the worst people. They want to get under your skin to, you know, to get what they want.
And manipulate you.
Yeah. And I thought, this is worse than models. This is worse because they want to manipulate you to get what they want. And I was like, I think this is my last intense acting workshop. I'm not going to do that anymore. Be surrounded by other, you know, actors who are just hungry for success. Yeah. It was, but not all of them are like
not
that.
Not all of them. Yeah, I can imagine. If we, one of my biggest inspirations in like the acting world is like people like Johnny Depp. People like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Pratt, you know, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
What's his name? The guy from Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio. And then when you look at them personally, in their personal life, as much as we can look at, dude, they're amazing people. They have causes. They're very inspirational and stuff like that. So I feel like those people that you met, they're going to stay there. That's the highest of their career. They accepted that. That's why they feel like they're gods, you know, because they accepted they're there. So they'll never go up higher. And I think you need a really nice, good attitude and a clean heart to reach the top of the summit. And I hope you do, man. I hope I reflected this podcast. Like, I had her here before anyone knew her. You understand me? She was here. But yeah, so you were in Japan and then she was in Japan. Yeah. How'd you meet?
Yeah. Okay, so we had this mutual friend. He's an American filmmaker called James.
Yeah.
And he's been living in Japan for a while. And he was going to film the movie. Mm. And I guess he had met with you before, right?
Yeah.
And he put us in touch. He said, hey, I have this, I'm going to film this short film. I think you'd be right for the part. Let me put you in touch with the director.
Mm-hmm. And then that was you?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And then how was it from your experience?
Yeah, it just... So kind of a crazy serendipitous story. I was crafting the character more that week and I was focusing specifically on the looks, and I had this kind of like foggy image of a girl with dark hair and kind of like a cropped haircut. Mm-hmm. And I went into this bookstore I'd never been in before, and they had all these fine art photography books and they were featuring books that were kind of from like the French New Wave, and all these girls had the hair that I envisioned. And then I met Nagisa and she had the hair, and I was like, that's really wild. And she also, I could hear the main character Ava's voice in my head. And then when I met Nagisa, she had the voice.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very like,
yeah, that's chilly. That's crazy, man. Yeah. That's what I'm saying about you. Like, you write, so you write as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me because you go deep into like stuff like this that I don't think we, as you know, the regular person does not travel deep into their minds to create something. You know what I mean? I feel like humans are like have God particles in them. We create.
Yeah.
You know, we have the power of creation. And I think you go in there and then you're hearing her voice. You already have a voice in your mind before you hear it. And then it matches. That's crazy to me. That's beautiful, though. And so, yeah, the universe brought you together. And then you started on this project.
Yeah.
How was the project? What was the project? How did it do?
I mean, it was really intense because of the nature of the story. You know, it's about a girl who has PTSD.
Mm.
So... the scenes were very physical. There was a filming scene. We had to shoot it underwater in a pool.
Okay.
And I had to really, so most of the scenes I'm kind of sad, I'm struggling with my trauma. Mm-hmm. So it was very heavy, mm-hmm. but I mean, it was so fun. I loved shooting, and we had a small crew and everybody was, you know, so into the project, and we all knew each other from, you know, other projects. Mm. So it felt like this creative family. And it was also great because it was the first time I was working with a female director. Mm-hmm. And it's just so different when the director is a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But it just, I trusted her. There was this friendship between us, and, you know, I was ready to do anything for her.
Yeah. you felt like she really cared, and there was no, I don't know, like a guy directing a chick is a bit weird to me, but I don't know. Yeah. Like, you make sure you do this. All right. But yeah, I guess you have to find that person that you are comfortable with to actually bring the best out of you as well. So that's beautiful. So who edited the movie, who, like, where was it kind of posted and shared?
Initially I had someone in Japan editing it, mm-hmm. and our visions just weren't really matching up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also learning a lot about the editing process, mm-hmm. and I would have done a lot differently because I think it was the way I set things up put the editors at a disadvantage. But I ended up getting a referral to an editor in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I worked with her and she was great. And she edited an accompaniment piece, which is like a music video that's
right.
obviously footage from the film. And then we'll have like a individual piece composed just for that.
Okay.
And she just did an amazing job with that. She's like an award-winning editor,
yeah.
and kind of a, what's the phrase I'm looking for?
Did she add, like, contribute to it by with her own vision? Is
yeah.
that what she did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said half of it was used for a music video. Like, there were snippets from it that was used in the music video.
Yeah, I decided that because it's a non-linear format, and because with music videos, you don't necessarily have to have a traditional storyline.
Right.
They're often...
portray emotion, mainly.
Yeah, it's very emotive, very surreal,
yeah.
subconscious kind of material.
Right, right.
So I just thought it would be, like... Of course, I had to do a music video out of this.
Yeah, that's a great repurposing of the project.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And how did you guys feel after the project? Were you happy with it?
Happy, but exhausted.
Yeah.
Because we were shooting every day nonstop.
For how long?
Well, for how long you mean, like how many days?
Yeah.
In total, how many days, Shelby? Like,
we did, it was like 6.5.
Yeah.
Like we did a seventh reshoot day.
Yeah.
Happy days, man.
Yeah, and we were working all day. Like, you know, we didn't want to, we wanted to make the most of it.
Yeah.
So it's not like whenever we felt like ready to go home, we'd go home.
Yeah.
Like we stayed until late hours.
Yeah. That's the life of a creative, man.
It's the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as you enjoy it, right? It's not, as long as it's not a job, and hopefully one day you'll be making big bucks out of it, you know? That's the dream of everybody else, you know, where we, where you're trying to find a great balance between doing enough work and enjoying it at the same time for it to be just not work, you know. You do not want to be, it's not a cubicle, you sit stuck there and you're making a salary, like.
It's your passion.
Yeah. And you have to make it lucrative in order for it to be worth it. And there is a little bit of sacrifice and hard work that needs to fit into your life to do that as an individual, right? But happy days. Tell me a little bit about Japan. That's the one country I want to go. I want to lose myself.
They would love you.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Love him.
I would love to go there, man. I think I'm a big anime fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Naruto geek and then Bleach and One Piece and all of that. And then, I picked up a lot of Japanese out of that. Like, I can say, what's my name? Like, I can say, konnichiwa, watashi wa no osami desu. Yoroshiku.
Yoroshiku.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So tell me about Japan.
Well, you know, Japan's my home. To me, like, even though I was born in Paris, I feel like Japan is my home.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what do you want to know about Japan?
Like, the lifestyle, man. Like, how expensive is it? Like, can a guy like me go there and just drop everything and go
honest,
there?
You could. And you could live quite comfortably.
Okay.
But in terms of, like, longevity of your career, it's quite uncertain because you're not a Japanese. You'll be a gaijin, which is a foreigner.
Gaijin. Yeah. I want to be that. That's fine. Call me gaijin. I sound like an anime character. Anyways, keep going.
But life is great there. It's very safe. It's very peaceful in a way. And yet in Tokyo, it's really busy. Mm. It's like busy, chaotic, but in a very controlled way. Mm. Like the streets are always busy. It's 24 hours. Like there's no other city in the world that's 24 hours like Tokyo. But at the same time, it's a very quiet and peaceful place and safe for everyone.
Right.
But also isolating city. You can feel really lonely and isolated.
Yeah.
It's very similar to London. But London has more of a village feel. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, because London is very heartless sometimes. Yeah. And it's like there's no emotion in there. People are just getting into their car. They're just going to work, man. And sometimes it's really depressing.
Yeah, imagine that in Tokyo with tall buildings and Japanese people who just, you know, don't show their emotions.
Yeah.
Because Londoners still show their emotions.
A little bit. Yeah. They're angry and they're whatever. How was Japan for you as an American going all the way east? A Westerner all the way east? What, did you try and conquer or something like that?
I feel like Nagisa is like a great PR agent. Like,
for Japan?
Yeah.
I love it.
Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth, Shelby. I know she gave me the commercial version of it. Tell me the truth.
I'll give you the uncensored version.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I went there and I think I found myself in my career and I didn't think that that was what was going to happen. So it was really hard because I'd never been somewhere and like completely out by myself.
Yeah.
And I never realized how many crutches there are in American culture for bad behavior.
Mm.
And lack of responsibility.
Right.
In Japan, it's like everybody gets the same equal treatment. And there's very, well, I shouldn't say that because I think, you know, as a foreigner, we do get away with a lot.
Right.
To be honest. But yeah, it was a really rocky landing. I had just gone on this little like, very stereotypical Euro, like post-grad trip.
And
it was so enchanting and magical. And then I went to Japan and it was like getting hit with reality, like square in the face. And I had sold everything to go there. And then it was just really hard for a long time. And I had studied Japanese for 6 months and I had no idea like how different it would be.
Yeah.
Because I think being an American that studies foreign languages, it's always like a little boost of confidence because most Americans don't speak another language.
No, they don't.
So my friend
you barely speak English, God damn it. No.
I was sad but true.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was always like a fun party trick to like say some things in Japanese, and I did one of my my graduation presentations partially in Japanese, and then I went there and almost everything I had learned was useless.
Yeah,
and there's 5 registers as well, so yeah.
Bit of a struggle, but it built you up, man. Like, you know, those hard times, they make you or break you. And it looks like they made you, man. And, you know, you got to be hit straight in the face sometimes. You got to, you know, you think you have a plan until you get punched in the face. That's Mike Tyson. I mean, that's real. That's real life stuff, you know. That's what happens to us. And it all happens to us when you think you're going to do something or whatever. You have it under control and then, you know, reality hits and you're like, I got nothing and I have to actually start moving. I have to, you know, do all that shit. And happy days. That's good. That's good. I mean, that's not nothing, you know, that's the stuff you're proud of, you know. I went through that shit. And if I go through that shit again, I'll come out on top. And that's very important. But let's bring it to here. Let's bring it to our area of the world now. Mm-hmm. So both of you decide to move to the UK. Welcome to the UK. Welcome to London.
Thank you.
This is my city. I run this shit. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to London. Welcome to London. Tell me, why did you make... Obviously, by the way, if you didn't know, Pinewood Studios is just right there. Do you know Pinewood Studios?
Yeah.
Bought by Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a huge movie. Star Wars was in there. Marvel. Everything. So one day we'll sneak in maybe and just, hey, can we work?
Crash the party.
Yeah, crash the party.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to get in touch with those people, man. I'm really trying to be like, yo, where do you work? Anyone works in Pinewood? Do you like open the doors? Anyone? Like, I need some connections in there. Not because I'm like, just because I want to be in there a little bit. I want to see people work in there. I really do. It's very interesting to me. I always was the guy when I was a kid watching bloopers and watching behind the scenes shit because I find it really interesting. Because as much as the movie is great, for me, it's the person, right? It's the person. I'll be like, how the fuck did he get into that mindset? How the hell did he become that evil or something like that? So I always like to enjoy watching the behind the scenes stuff. But so back to you guys. Why London? Why UK? What happened?
Well, me, I got signed to a UK agent. Because of COVID, you know, it was too difficult to be based in Japan. And I was going to move to the UK anyway before COVID. So I decided, yeah, just fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll move to London.
Why not? Exactly. Yeah. There are a lot of opportunities in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Happy days. So is it like, all right, so you auditioned in Paris, you were in Japan, and so the UK is the most busy?
The UK is like the destination for all like filming in Europe. It's where all the great films and TV series are produced, made. And it's the gateway for Hollywood productions.
Ooh, yeah. Here you go. Yeah, so tell me, what's the difference between UK and US? Like in terms of that scene? Like, all right, let's say New York, right? So there are hot spots in the US where people audition. New York and LA, right?
Mm.
So those are huge. People get a lot of gigs in there. But what's like the comparison vaguely between them and here in the in London? Like, do you like... Yeah,
I don't really feel like qualified to comment, if
right.
being honest, because I made the decision to start getting into film when I was in Japan, and it was perfect in many ways because with COVID, the West was very shut down. Now the East is shut down, but at the time it was the opposite.
Okay,
and people were just really interested in doing something creative where there was like no limitations to the amount of creativity and heart and passion that we could pour into this project.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to kind of see about making roots in the UK. I'm considering reincorporating the business here. But yeah, I've spent a little bit of time in New York. I don't have any connections in Los Angeles at this point, except one, but he goes back and forth between like LA, New York, and Tokyo.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But still, busy city, London, yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot of work,
yeah?
That's it. That's all we want to hear. And the rest is up to us.
Yeah.
You gotta hustle, man. Yeah. You gotta get after it.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta sacrifice a little bit of stuff. And happy days. What else you guys do like outside of this? So, obviously, best of luck with your careers. I think it's very unique.
Too.
I think not a lot of people get to meet like you guys. Like for me, if I did not get into this kind of industry, I'm in video, right? I'm in video production, podcast production. We have a studio, YouTube stuff. But to meet people like you who want to do like proper film, emotional, creative, deep stuff, like it's hard to kind of like meet people like you guys. So appreciate you coming here. I'm really having
fun.
Thank you. But let's talk like outside of what you guys do. Like, what do you do? Like, outside of this, how do you spend your days like here in the UK? Like in London. Okay, so how long you been living here?
So London, 2 nights.
2 nights? Yeah. Oh shit, you just came in.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, man. Wrong question.
Yeah, but the UK, England, since April. I was in West Sussex before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Not much, to be honest. You know, the rhythm of daily life in the country is so different.
Yeah.
It's like the whole day goes by slowly. You do less, but it feels like really long.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
And there were still COVID restrictions, but I was just like cooking, cleaning, going for hikes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I like that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Simple, but but
enjoying
very
life, reading, watching movies.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. How about you, Shelby? What do you do? Like, how do you spend? Do you a night out? Let's go clubbing, let's go, you know, let's take a Percocet aside. No, I'm just kidding.
No. You guys met, you know, in very funny circumstances.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah,
that was
a joke. I just wanted to show a face.
You know, she said, how'd you guys meet? I was like, we were doing pills together.
No.
I was like, she brought him in from the US. No, but for real, like how long you been living here in the UK?
Just a month.
Jesus Christ, you guys are very new.
I know.
Then what's so you live in in Central.
No.
Yeah, well, you're Dalston.
Dalston.
Yeah, but kind of like.
East.
Yeah, but it's kind of like it's in London. Well, Central, yeah, you're right. When you say Central, people think Marble Arch and Oxford Street and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But okay, you live in London.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do like for fun?
Oh, I feel like I shouldn't blow on the mic because of COVID now.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Trust me.
Sorry,
I sanitize the place
yeah.
regularly.
Yeah, I've gone to a couple of events. There was one electronic artist that I really wanted to listen to, but then my friend felt very claustrophobic and we left.
wow, what an awesome night.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm a little bit boring in some ways because I've sort of just, I really like having a bedtime at the same time.
Oh, that's good. You're a person of schedule.
Yeah.
That's really good. I wish I was that. Unfortunately, my nature of my job does not allow me to do that. But okay, so you're an events type of girl. Yeah, you like to go and do something. You're not just want to go and get, you know, shit-faced and shit.
No. I've been doing a lot of networking events. I'm also like, trying to train for a marathon, but I got
Whoa.
Injured. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. All right. Respect, man.
Yeah.
I like people who will really take care of their fitness. I think that's really good. I was obsessed with my fitness at one point until I started the fucking business. But it's okay. It's an excuse. It's really just an excuse. I was into MMA a lot, and I really trained a lot to the point where I'm gonna compete. You know, I'm getting that good, but. Yeah, things like marathon, though, they're really like, there's no, you know, you're not going to get smashed in the head. I'd love to do that. I wanted to do that for a long time, but I never thought that I could get into a level where, you know, I could, you know, be in the top 50 or anything. I think there's a lot of skinny guys in there with long legs, taking long strides, and they're just, you know, they're going to leave you in the dust. But yeah, that's good. That's good. I love that. Same thing for here, man. Being like a business owner, I spend a lot of my time in here, almost 7 days a week, and I'm a student at the same time. It really, my only time for fun is I have to have a business excuse. Oh, it's a networking. All right, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Is this, unless it's like a friend who really like dragged me out. Like one of my friends who's a lawyer and a stand-up comedian. So he was like, you need to come and see me perform. You need to come and see me perform. So I would go like to like small comedy clubs and shit like that. So other than that, bro, I bring the party here a lot. So I have a YouTube channel, which we react to a lot of MMA shit, you know, fights. And we do a little bit of an analysis and stuff. It's really lazy. YouTube channel. It's a lazy, lazy YouTube channel, but it gets views and it's monetized and makes me money. So, which is good. I bring the party here. I bring the boys in here. I bring whoever. And we just chat and yell and stuff like that. So I understand like right now, I don't know if we're in the same age, kind of like I'm 27 and I'm really like,
younger than me.
Yeah. I have to keep, it's like that hustle phase, man, where you can't worry about shit that is like FOMO. You can't have FOMO, fear of missing out.
No.
You can't. You really can't. You have to be like, fuck 'em.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing my own shit. I have to do my own shit, man. I can't, you know, and sometimes it's a hard and lonely life, but it's also full of excitement and full of like crazy opportunities and new people, new individuals, and it's just worth it at the end of the day. And it's also like it's just a matter of time before you hit a break where you can actually, all right, let me bring in some balance to my life a little bit and actually, you know, be healthy. At the end of the day, as long as you're mentally healthy as well, that's very important. Some people can handle it, some people can't.
Yeah,
go ahead and take friends out of somebody's life. Some people can handle it really well. They'll be like, all right, cool. I'm just doing my work and, you know, I already have plans. I'm my own person. Then there's another person, you take away his friend group and they just collapse. They can't even do anything. They feel so lonely and shit. They're defined by their friends and shit like that. So, so as long as your mental health is really your kind of main priority, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just don't hurt people, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think... I think we'll leave it at that. I think that's a very good message, I hope.
Yeah.
I could be just waffling here. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so that's it. Ladies, really nice to meet you.
Nice meeting.
Yeah. What's the next? What are we doing next? So what's the next project? So what's going on in your lives next?
So I'm in like pre-production. I'm hoping to do like a basically a little ad in the Isle of Harris and bring up Nagisa and like a very, very small skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And just do like a little promo. It'll be very kind of fashion oriented, very like emotive and dramatic. And,
okay. Is that the one we're doing here? Because you were looking around at the places and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So that's the next one. Is that a promotion for what? For the brand?
For Unsaid.
Yeah. Okay. Happy days. All right. Cool. Listen, I'll leave all the links in the description anyway. So just send them to me. And then Nagisa, what are we doing?
Nagisa.
Sorry.
You're Nagisa. Forgiven.
Yeah. Thank you. So what are we doing next?
Yeah. Well, I'm just settling in, you know, London, and I'm auditioning. And yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Happy days, man. Happy Please days. Let me know when you get the next part. I'll look out for it. I'll be like, oh, there she is. Happy days. All right, people. Thank you so much for listening to us. I've been Sammy. This has been London Media Lounge. And I'll see you in the next one. Peace.